You may be seated. Wow. Jesus commissions 70 of his followers to go out and do the work of the gospel, to proclaim the good news. And from these and others who have proclaimed the good news down through the ages, here we are 2,000 years later still telling people of the amazing things that God has done. It's a great success story of the church. But I have to say, if I'm one of those 70 sent out, or the 12 that Jesus had already sent out before the 70, I'm a little nervous, right? Because even though presumably these 70 have seen all the incredible things that Jesus has done, the instructions that they get are like a little bit anxiety producing, right? All right, guys, sending you out here like lambs into the midst of wolves. So everybody get rid of your purse, your wallet, your cash, and your credit cards, and don't take anything with you. No supplies, no change of clothes. Trust me, it'll all be fine. What? Really? But you know what happens? Even though Jesus warns them they'll be going out like lambs into the midst of wolves, even though he prepares them for people to not receive the peace they offer, even though he gives them explicit instructions about how to handle towns that will not welcome them and folks that reject them, even with all that, the 70 come back on top of the world. They're elated at the ministry of the kingdom that they've been a part of on this journey as they healed the sick, cast out demons, and proclaim the good news. Which kind of makes you wonder, since the instructions from Jesus about all the things not to take on the road seem to be good ones, clearly they produce the desired results, what's going on with us, with me, when we balk at these instructions? I mean, I'll speak for me here. I think what I don't like about these instructions is that the way Jesus wants the 70 to go about this makes them deeply vulnerable. It puts them in unknown settings. It sends them into the midst of strangers, strange lands, without even the most basic supplies. It gives them no recourse, no choice, but to be dependent on other people. And that right there is the rub for me. I don't much like the idea that my only option would be to depend on somebody else, much less a stranger. I bet you might feel the same way. It feels so exposed, so vulnerable to depend on somebody else. Just a couple of weeks ago, I saw this at work. We were moving my brother and his fiance, now wife, into their house in Durham. And it was crazy all day. Two moving trucks to unload. Internet had to be hooked up this day. Appliances were being delivered. And all this had to happen in this brief time span. The only day they had to be there before they had to leave for their wedding, then go on their honeymoon, and come back with only one day to spare before they both started new jobs the next day. So it was a crazy busy day. And at one point in the late morning, a friendly neighbor came over to say hello and offered to let us park in his driveway if we needed to, which I promptly accepted. But then, as he talked to us more, he offered to take all of our orders and bring us all back sandwiches from Subway that day. And you know what we did? We thanked him profusely for the offer and turned down his hospitality because, well, I don't know actually why. I guess because it made us dependent on him. It meant we'd have to stop what we were doing and what we had planned and coordinate with this man we'd only just met. And, oh man, what if he wanted to stay and eat with us? What if he wanted to chat when we finished eating? It would be a disaster, I guess. I don't know. We didn't actually stop and think it through. But all of us immediately there had the same reaction to his offer, to thank him for his kindness and to immediately assure him that he didn't need to do that. why are we so bad at accepting the hospitality of others? I think maybe it has a lot to do with the way our society and culture have trained us to be. We don't have barn raisings anymore, do we? Where the whole neighborhood gets together to support the work that needs to be done and to have a picnic. Instead, we take out personal loans and mortgages to finance things for ourselves. We don't really stop for directions anymore, at least those of us who have smartphones. Type in the destination and let the computer figure it out, right? We're captive, I think, to this vision of American individualism that tells us we need to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, make it on our own, never be dependent or beholden to anyone because we are independent. But this is clearly not how the kingdom of God works. For that fact, I don't think it's how America works. We celebrate this week the birth of our independent nation, but from the beginning, that political independence that allowed us to self-govern was a communal endeavor. The first pilgrims depended on the native people to help them through the difficult winter. Preacher David Lowes points out that the colonies those first pilgrims founded were called commonwealths, right? That is, places where the good of any individual was inextricably linked to the good of the whole. And even the act of declaring independence, it made the colonies deeply vulnerable and deeply dependent on each other. Benjamin Franklin is said to have noted at the Declaration of Independence signing that we must hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately. To me, it seems that the whole American experiment, where it has succeeded because of the willingness of people to make themselves vulnerable for the good of the greater whole. So how we get to this place of hyper-individualism, I'm not sure. It's certainly not what the kingdom of God looks like, right? Jesus sends out the 70 in pairs, building community right into it at the get-go, because it's not good to be alone. And then Jesus makes sure that these 70 are going to have to be sheltered and fed by the community along the way as they proclaim the kingdom. And it makes me wonder, Jesus is really clear in the Gospel of Luke about what the mission of the kingdom of God looks like. It's about bringing good news to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and letting the oppressed go free. And Jesus doesn't just say that, right? He goes on to do all of these things, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, proclaiming the good news, particularly to the poor. So I wonder sometimes, is our hesitancy to care for other people as Jesus did, is it a product of our failure to depend on each other? Because we know there are an awful lot of sick, hungry, and poor people out there, and we aren't always rushing in there to proclaim the good news and work for their healing. Maybe what we need is to recover the practice of hospitality. I think we have a real problem with this, and if you watch the news and read it, you can maybe take the situation at the border and these detention centers as an indication of that problem. I think we need to work on extending hospitality. But I think we also deeply need work on receiving hospitality. Jesus knows what he's doing when he sends the 70 out. Maybe we need to get some practice depending on others. Because whether or not we like to admit it in public, we can't do this on our own. We don't have it all together, and particularly we don't have it all together when it comes to being in relationship with God. The truth is, we are totally dependent on the grace of the Lord Jesus, who is the only one who can make sure our names are written in the book of heaven. Our salvation is not up to us. It's entirely up to Jesus. On some level, I think we know that. But knowing it and trusting it, trusting Jesus and his call to care for all people, not worrying about our purses or bags, but to bring good news to the poor, release to the captive, and recovery to all those who need healing, well, living like we trust that this is all up to Jesus, I think that's harder than simply knowing it. Which is why we may need some practice. Be vulnerable. Accept hospitality. Depend on others. Practice. And then, depend on Jesus. Amen.